आनन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामय्यं तदाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणाललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। First chapter, the opulence and the sweetness of Lord Sri Krishna. So, as the chapter itself says that there are two subject matters described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami, the opulences of Krishna and the sweetness of Krishna. Agatyeka gatim natva हीनार्थादिकसाधकम् श्रीचैतन्यं लिकां यस्य माधुर्यैश्वर्यशीकरम्
पार्टिकल्स् आफ् हिस् आपुलेन्सेस् एण्ड् स्वीट्नेस्। He is most valuable for a fallen conditioned soul bereft of spiritual knowledge, and he is the only shelter of those who do not know the real goal of life.
So, Kaviraj Goswami is offering obeisances. Agat eka gatim. The only shelter of all the conditioned souls. Eka gatim. I offer my obeisances to that Supreme Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the only shelter of all the conditioned souls. Heena artha, artha heena. Artha heena means, artha usually it means wealth, but here artha heena means the conditioned souls who are poor in spiritual knowledge. Heena artha, of the necessities of the conditioned souls who are poor in spiritual knowledge. Heena artha adhika sadhakam. Shri Chaitanyam Likamasya Madhuryaishwarya Shikaram. So, I offer my obeisance to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by offering obeisance to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'll attempt to describe a drop of Madhurya Aishwarya Shikaram. I'll describe a small portion of his madhurya and aishwarya, his opulence and sweetness. And what is the nature of the Lord? That is described in the first two lines. Agatyeka gatim natva. He is the most valuable for the, he is the only shelter of the conditioned soul who is in hinartadika, who is bereft of spiritual knowledge. And he is the only shelter for those who do not know the real goal of life. Sadhakam. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
All glories to Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Nityananda Prabhu, all glories to Advaita Acharya and all glories to all the devotees of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Sarvaswarupera dama paravyoma dame Pratak Pratak Vaikunta Sabha Nahika Ganane
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, All the transcendental forms of the Lords are situated in the spiritual sky. They preside over spiritual planet in that abode. But there is no counting those Vaikuntha planets.
So in the till the 30th verse of this chapter, Kaviraj Goswami is describing the opulence of Krishna. Till the 30th verse, Kaviraj Goswami gives different quotations to describe the unlimited nature of Krishna's opulences. And then from the 31st till the 98th verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the opulences of Krishna. And then from 99th till the end of this chapter, except for the last few verses, till 99th till the almost till the end of this, maybe till 144th verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the sweetness of Krishna. So we can see these three sections. The first section till the 30th verse, Kaviraj Goswami describes the opulence of Krishna. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the opulence of Krishna from 31st till 98th verse. And from 99th till the end of the chapter, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the sweetness of Krishna. Because the law till the 145th verse, and then at the end, it is just some Kaviraj Goswami gives a Phalastuti of hearing this. So, here he says that, but this also actually Chaitanya, he's saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is only speaking here, but from the 30th verse, he actually. Like he explains a particular verse and then he describes in more detail the opulence of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued that all the transcendental forms of the Lord are situated in the spiritual sky. They preside over the spiritual planets in that abode, but there is no counting of those Vaikuntha planets. I think the first 30 verses are also spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only. Initially, I thought it is actually Kaviraj Goswami speaking, but Mahaprabhu is only speaking. So he, like first 30 verses, like we can say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving a introduction. He is describing the opulence of Krishna, but it is like a prelude. And then from the 31st verse, Mahaprabhu is describing he quotes a particular verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam and then he describes in more detail the opulence of Krishna. In the first 30 verses, Mahaprabhu is only speaking the opulence of Krishna and it is like an introduction or a prelude. And in these 30 verses, like he gives many quotations which tell about the unlimited nature of Krishna's opulences. How it cannot be described, how it is unlimited. So that is the mood in these verses. He says that, So in the fifth verse, he explains that there is no counting of the Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual abode. And the fourth verse, he gives the size of the Vaikuntha planets. Shata sahasra ayuta laksha koti yojana Eka Eka Vaikuntera Vistara Varnana.
Breadth of each Vaikuntha planet is described as 8 miles multiplied by 100, by 1000, by 10,000, by 100,000, and by 10 million. In other words, each Vaikuntha planet is expanded beyond our ability to measure.
So you can see there is a dimension or the size of the Vaikuntha planets. The next verse, he describes the inhabitants of Vaikuntha planets. What is the nature? What is the opulence of the inhabitants of the Vaikuntha planets? Sabha Vaikuntha Vyapaka Ananda Chinmaya Parishada Shadaishwarya Purna Sabahaya.
Each Vaikuntha planet is very large and each is made of spiritual bliss. The inhabitants are all associates of Supreme Lord and they have full opulence like the Lord himself. This is how the Vaikuntha planet are all situated.
So they have the opulences like the Supreme Lord. They have the four-handed forms. They have the same bodily features as the Lord Vishnu. That is the nature of the inhabitants of the Vaikuntha planets. And since all the Vaikuntha planets are located in a certain corner of the spiritual sky, who can measure the spiritual sky? So he describes the spiritual sky. And then he explains in the seventh verse how the spiritual sky is in the shape of a lotus flower and how the different planets are situated in the form of the worlds of the lotus flower. Ananta Vaikuntha Paravyoma Yaradala Shreni Sarvopari Krishna Loka Karnikara Gani.
The shape of the spiritual sky is compared to the lotus flower. The topmost region of that flower is called the world, and within that world is Krishna's abode. The petals of the spiritual lotus flower consist of many Vaikuntha planets.
So it is described how the different Vaikuntha planets are situated in the form of the whorls of a lotus flower. And the topmost region is called the Krishna's abode is the topmost region of the flower called the whorl of the flower. Of course, other Vaikuntha planets are situated in the form of the petals of the lotus flower. The world is the Krishna Loka and the other planets are the petals. So then he explains how the, you will see different verses now, how even great personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Ananta Dev, and even Krishna cannot estimate the opulences of the Vaikuntha planets. They cannot estimate the qualities of Krishna. So all these different quotations about the unlimited nature. The eighth verse talks about the how Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot estimate, then what to speak of others. Eimata Shadaishwarya Sthana Avatara Brahma Shiva Antanapaya Jiva Konachara.
Each Vaikuntha planet is full of spiritual bliss, complete opulences and space, and each is inhabited by incarnations. If Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot estimate the length and breadth of spiritual sky and the Vaikuntha planet, how can ordinary living entities begin to imagine them?
Koveti Bhuman Bhagavan Paratman Yogeshwarotir Bhavata Strilokya. Vaikuntha Vava katam va kati va kadeti. Vistarayan kridasi yoga maya.
O Supreme Great One, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Super Soul, Master of all mystic power, your pastime are taking place continuously in these worlds. But who can estimate where, how and when you are employing your spiritual energy and performing your pastime? No one can understand the mystery of these activities.
Just like a quotation to support the previous statement. And then again he says in the next verse, that even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and the four Kumaras cannot estimate the spiritual qualities of the Lord. So the 8th and 9th verse, especially he describes how Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot estimate the length and breadth of the spiritual sky. So now in the 10th verse he says how Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Shanaka cannot estimate the spiritual qualities of the Lord. So again a very beautiful verse from Brahmaji's prayer. Gunatmanaste pi gunan vimatum. Hita vatirnasya kayishi resya. Kalena yairva vimitasu kalpai.
Kalena yairva vimitasu kalpai.
Bhupam shavakke mihi kadyubasa.
In time, great scientists may be able to count all the atoms of the universe, all the stars and planets in the sky, and all the particles of snow. But who among them can count the unlimited transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He descends on the surface of the globe for the benefit of all living entities.
So, this is a very beautiful verse. So even in due course of time, Brahmaji is saying that somebody may even be able to count the number of particles of sand. And then he gives an even more subtler example. And somebody may be able to count even the number of particles of snow. And then he gives an even more subtler example that somebody may be even able to count the number of light particles. But one will never be able to count the qualities of the Supreme Lord. So does anybody remember one beautiful comment given by Sanatan Goswami in that purport? This particular verse. This Brahmaji's prayer. About the unlimited nature of Krishna's qualities. Sanatana Goswami says that actually why is it that Krishna has unlimited number of qualities? Because there are unlimited number of living entities and Krishna wants to attract each and every living entity in a personal manner. So therefore, he has unlimited number of qualities. And then another Acharya explains that personalities like Sankarshan have actually been able to count all these sand particles, snow particles and the light particles, but he has never been able to count the number of qualities of the Lord. Brahmadi rahu sahasra vadane ananta nirantara gaya muke napaya gunera anta.
To say nothing of Lord Brahma, even Lord Ananta, who has thousands of heads, cannot reach the end of Lord's transcendental qualities, even though he is continuously chanting their praises.
So he explained that Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and the four Kumaras cannot actually estimate his qualities. Now in the 12th verse, he is including one more personality. What is bigger, Brahma or Shiva? Even Lord Ananta cannot estimate the qualities of the Lord. So Mahaprabhu is gradually building up. So this is like the first 30 verses he is explaining about the, it's like an introduction of, in which he talks about the unlimited nature of Krishna's opulence. And then he actually describes the Krishna's opulence from 31st verse onwards. Although it is unlimited, then he starts describing Krishna's opulence from 31st verse. So here he says even Ananta cannot. So in order to show, in order to give a quotation that even Ananta cannot estimate the unlimited nature of Krishna's qualities, Mahaprabhu quotes a verse spoken by Lord Brahma to Narada Muni, the second canto, 7th chapter, when Lord Brahma described the, what the second canto, 7th chapter, anybody remembers what is there in there? The different incarnations of the Lord. Lord Brahma described the different incarnations of the Lord, and then finally, what is the last thing which Lord Brahma says to Narada Muni? Then finally he gives an instruction to Narada Muni at the end. You expand on what I have spoken, and then you will start actually, what I have just given a prelude. Now you expand on whatever I have spoken, and then you describe to others. Like that Narada Muni, Brahmaji tells Narada Muni. So we'll recite this verse. Nantam vidam yahamabhi munayogra jaste. Maya balasya purushasya kuto varaye. Gayan gunan dashashatanana adi deva. Shesho dunapi samavasyati nasya param.
If I, Lord Brahma, and your elder brothers, the great saints and sages, cannot understand the limits of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of various energies, who else can understand them? Although constantly chanting about his transcendental qualities, the thousand-hooded Lord Shesh has not yet reached the end of Lord's activities.
So this verse is especially about how even Lord Shesh cannot actually, was not able to reach the end of Lord's qualities. And then, now the next point he says is that, so he explained how Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and then he included Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the four Kumaras, and then even Ananta. Now he says even Krishna himself, cannot. Which one? Now he is going to quote a verse from Prayers of Vedas Personified. That is like when Krishna describes the opulence of Vibhuti Yoga. After describing the Vibhuti Yoga, then Krishna says to Uddhava that actually even I don't know the extent of my opulences. Yeah, that is also a verse. That can also be told. Because that is especially about Vibhutis, because Vibhutis are something which we see within the material world. But here, especially about the transcendental qualities of Krishna. So this
Seho Rahu Sarvagya Shiromani Shri Krishna Nijaguner Antanapaya Hoyena Satrishna.
To say nothing of Anantadev, even Lord Krishna himself cannot find an end to his own transcendental qualities. Indeed, he himself is always eager to know them.
We'll recite this verse from Prayers of Vedas Personified.
Dyupataya eva te nayayur antam anantataya. Vamapi yad అంతరాండ నిచయానను సావరణ కయివరజాంసి వాంతి వయసా సహయశ్రుతయః త్వయిహి ఫలంతి అతన్ నిరసనేన భవన్ నిదనా
My Lord, you are unlimited. Even the predominating deities of the higher planetary system, including Lord Brahma, cannot find your limitations. Nor can you yourself ascertain the limits of your qualities. Like atoms in the sky, there are multi-universes with seven covering, and these are rotating in due course of time. All the expert in Vedic understanding are searching for you by examining eliminating the material elements. In this way, searching and searching, they come to conclusion that everything is complete in you. Thus, you are the resort of everything. This is conclusion of all Vedic experts.
So here especially, the first line he says, Dyupataya refers to the predominating deities of the higher planets. Dyupataya evate na yayur antam anantatayai. The predominating planets of the different planets, predominating deities of different planets, they cannot understand the unlimited nature of your qualities. Huh. And then second line he says, Tvam api, even you yourself cannot ascertain the limits of your qualities. Huh. And then he explains that when people go through the process of neti neti, this is not the absolute truth, this is not the absolute truth, and people actually try to understand the different material universe which is covered by the seven layers of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mahatattva and false ego. After eliminating all these material elements, by going through the process of neti neti, then ultimately they come to the conclusion that you are the absolute truth. This is the right conclusion, that the absolute truth is that when we come to the right conclusion, we accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the ultimate truth. So Prabhupada quotes similar verse, especially that for the third and fourth line, is similar to the Bahunam Janmanam Ante, Jnana Vanmam Prapadyate. After many, many births, a jnani comes to the conclusion that Krishna is all in all. So similarly, after going through the process of neti neti for a long time, then a person comes to the right conclusion that Krishna is the absolute truth. So there is also a similar verse in the Gajendra's prayers. Does anybody know that prayer? Savaina deva sura martya tiryan nastrina sando na pumana jantuhu nayam gunakarma nasanna chasan nisheda shesha jayatad aseshaha. In that verse, especially the last third and fourth line, there also Gajendra is saying that the Supreme Lord is that person who is to be found after going through the process of neti neti. Nayam gunak karma nasanna chasan nisheda shesha jayatad aseshaha. After going through the process of neti neti, one comes to this conclusion. Next verse.
When there is a discussion about the absolute truth, there are always various pros and cons. The purpose of such arguments is to come to the right conclusion.
It could be, I feel that maybe
Different people have different opinions about what the absolute truth. Or it can be like, what is the ultimate goal, which some different people said, I think the different goals. Some people say maybe liberation is the ultimate goal. Some people say maybe the heavenly planets. Maybe like that. Thing. But ultimately, the right conclusion which they come is the absolute truth. The Krishna is the absolute truth. And to love of Krishna is the ultimate goal. That's what I feel. Next verse.
Seha Rahu Vrajeya Be Krishna Avatara Tandra Charitra Vicharite Manana Payapara.
Apart from all argument, logic and negative or positive processes, when Lord Shri Krishna was present as the Supreme Personality of Godhead at Vrindavan, no one could find a limit to his potencies by studying his characteristics and activities.
So here Mahaprabhu is saying that even when Krishna was personally present in Vrindavan, when Krishna was not present in this world and he did not incarnate, maybe it was difficult to find out about the number of unlimited qualities. But actually here he says even when Krishna was personally present at Vrindavan, nobody could find a limit to his potencies by studying his characteristics and activities. And for that he actually, gives a description of Brahma Vimohan Leela in short. How even when Krishna was personally present, people could not find a limit to his potencies. So, how Krishna created unlimited number of spiritual planets, Vaikuntha planets and the material universes at one moment and made them disappear. And then he says how nobody could find a limit.
Prakrita Prakrita Srishti Kailaye Kakshane Ashesha Vaikuntha Janda Swasvanatasane.
At Vrindavan, the Lord immediately created all material and spiritual planets in one moment. Indeed, all of them were created with their predominating deities.
So, in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, basically it refers to Brahma Vimohan Leela, how Krishna took the forms of all the calves and the cowherd boys, and then he showed to Lord Brahma how all these are actually the 400 forms of Vishnu. So he created all the material and spiritual planets in one moment. So this is a very important verse, the 18th verse.
Yei mata anyatra nahi shuniye adbhuta yahara shravane chita hoya avaduta.
We do not hear of such wonderful things anywhere else. Simply by one's hearing of those incidents, one's consciousness is agitated and cleansed.
So here, this verse is an important verse because Mahaprabhu is saying that the result of hearing these opulences of Krishna is that there are two results. One's mind is agitated and also purified. Consciousness agitated and purified. So actually, like Prabhupada translates the word avaduta as agitated and cleansed. So in the purport he explains that in certain versions of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the last line is described as yahara shravane chitta mala haya duta. Mala means contamination. So when we take this version, mala haya duta, means like by hearing these opulences, one's consciousness is actually purified. But if we take the other version, Chitta Haya Avaduta, then it means that one's consciousness becomes agitated by hearing. That means like a person becomes astonished and he becomes like a surprised, agitated by hearing these opulences. Therefore, both the meanings are actually given by Prabhupada in the word-to-word translation and also in the translation. Uh-huh. so Prabhupada, of course, also he also quotes the Brahma Samhita verse, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhi. How Krishna created many material and spiritual planets in Lord Brahma's presence in one moment. And all those forms were actually transformed into 400 forms of Vishnu. And all those Vishnu forms were actually being worshipped by the different Brahmas and Shivas and other planets, other demigods. In that way, Krishna created the spiritual, because all these Vishnu forms are in different spiritual planets. He created all the spiritual planets and the material planets in one moment. So then Prabhupada also quotes that when the consciousness is purified by hearing these pastimes of Krishna's opulence, when consciousness is purified, then when the consciousness is cleansed, then one can understand Krishna as he is. That's why Krishna says, Esham Tvantagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam Te Dvandva Moha Nirmukta Bhajante Mam Dridavrata. So only when a person is purified of sinful reactions, then a person can perform devotional service with determination. So here, Prabhupada has quoted this verse in a different context in different places. So here he explains that when the consciousness is purified by hearing these opulences of Krishna, then a person can understand Krishna as he is. In another place, I think 8th canto, 5th chapter, 12th verse. Either 5th or 6th chapter, not remembering. But the 12th verse, 8.5.12. So there also Prabhupada quotes this verse, Esham Tvantagatam Papam, in the purport. So there he explains that when a person leads his lifestyle which is sinless in nature, when a person's lifestyle is to the extent sinless in nature, then a person can practice devotional service with determination. So then he explains in that purport that agriculture and cow protection are sinless ways of living, like that. So there he explains in that connection. But essential point here is that when the consciousness is cleansed, purified, one can actually see Krishna as he is. So here he explained the process of purifying one's consciousness is actually hearing about the opulences of Krishna. That 8th canto, 5th chapter, he explains that one of the ways of leading a sinless way of life is actually adopting the occupations of cow protection and agriculture. 19th verse. Krishna Vatsaira Sankhyatai Shuka Deva Vani. Krishna Sangek Hata Gopa Sankhyana Hijani.
According to Shukdev Goswami, Krishna had unlimited calves and cowherd boys with him. No one could count their actual number.
So he just describing the Just to describe the unlimited nature of Krishna's opulences. Krishna himself had unlimited number of calves. And then in the next verse he describes the number of calves which are herded by the different cowherd boys. Because Krishna ultimately expanded into all these calves. So he is just giving an estimation of the number of calves herded by the cowherd boys. Eka eka gopakare evatsa charana
koti arbuda shanka padma tahara ganana.
Each of the cowherd boys was tending calves to the extent of a koti, arbuda, shanka and padma. That is the way of counting.
So Prabhupada in the purport he gives a detailed the counting system. He starts from the lakhs, what is 10 lakh, and then 100 lakh is 1 crore, that is koti, and 10 crores is that arbuda, 10 arbuda is vrinda, 10 vrinda is karva, 10 karva is nikarva, 10 nikarva is shanka, 10 shanka is padma, I don't know whether in the Ramayana also, in the Yuddhakanda, there is a counting of the monkeys. Whether that counting is also same as this counting, I'm not sure. Maybe somebody can check it. There also, I think the word Brinda, Shankar and all comes, I think. But here, so he gives this counting. And all the cowherd boys had unlimited calves. Similarly, their canes, flutes, lotus flowers, horns, garments, and ornaments were also unlimited. So therefore, they cannot be limited by writing about them. And then he explains that. Sabe haila chaturbhuja vaikunte rapati. Pratak pratak brahmandera brahmaka restuti.
Then became 400 Narayans, predominating deities of Vaikuntha planets. All the separate Brahmas from different universes began to offer their prayers unto the lords.
So this shows how the Krishna, all these cowherd boys became the 400 Narayan forms, and the cows also became. And within a second, all the transcendental bodies emanated from the body of Krishna, and then they all entered again into his body. So Mahaprabhu is quoting this to show the unlimited nature of Brahma, the Krishna's opulences. And then what was, when Brahmaji saw this, he offered beautiful prayers. And then what conclusion he came? 25th verse. Ekahe Krishnera Vaibhava Muisa Bhajano Sejanuka Kayamane Muiye Imano.
Lord Brahma said, if someone says that he knows everything about Krishna's opulence, let him think that way. But as far as I am concerned, with my body and mind, I consider it in this way.
Yeye Tomara Ananta Vaibhavamrita Sindhu Moravan Manogamya Naheyeka Bindu.
Lord, your opulence is like an unlimited ocean of nectar, and it is verbally and mentally impossible for me to realize even a drop of that ocean.
So then Brahmaji's verse is quoted. There's a beautiful verse from Brahmaji's prayers. Jananta eva janantu kim bahuktyana me prabho manaso vapusho vacho vaibhavam tava gochara.
There are people who say, I know everything about Krishna. Let them think that way. As far as I am concerned, I do not wish to speak very much about this matter. Oh my Lord, let me say this much. As far as your opulences are concerned, they are all beyond the reach of my mind, body, and words.
So this is Brahmaji's conclusion. Actually, you know, many people in India, they say that, oh, I know about Krishna. Like, especially one of the problem of the Indians, especially about the older generation, they may say that they feel that, oh, we know everything, so we don't have to come for satsang, we know all these pastimes. But we can actually contrast their statement with Brahmaji's statements. So Brahmaji is coming to this conclusion. Krishnera Mahimarahu Kebatara Gyata Vrindavana Sthanera Deka Acharya Vibhuta.
Let the glories of Lord Krishna be. Who could be aware of all of them? His abode, Vrindavan, has many wonderful appliances. Just try to see them all.
So now Mahaprabhu describes the size of Vrindavan. So he says that his abode, Vrindavan, has many wonderful appliances. So according to the scriptures, the size of Vrindavan is actually 16 kroshas, that means 32 miles. The whole Mathura Mandal is how many kroshas? 84 kroshas. So out of that, within only the Vrindavan is actually 16 kroshas, 32 miles. But within that 32 miles of Vrindavan, all the Vaikuntha planets, all the innumerable Vaikuntha planets in the universes are located in just one corner of this tract of land. Apara Aishwarya Krishnera Nahika Ganana Shaka Chandra Nyayekari Digdarshana.
No one can estimate the opulences of Krishna. This is unlimited. However, just as one sees the moon through the branches of a tree, I wish to give a little indication.
So till the 30th verse, Mahaprabhu especially described about the unlimited nature of Krishna's opulences. And then he explains now that although Krishna's opulences are unlimited, nobody can count, nobody can estimate, but still I'll give a small indication through the Shaka Chandra Nyaya. So you know the famous example of this. Moon is actually very far away, but then the mother tells the child that the moon is just above the branch. Just to give a small indication, explain to the child where the moon is, although the moon is very far away. So Mahaprabhu describes the unlimited nature of Krishna's opulences. Now he gives a small indication. So now he quotes, he will quote a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, and then he will explain that verse from the 31st verse till the 98th verse. He will give a small indication of Krishna's opulences by explaining this verse from the third canto, second chapter. So we'll recite the 31st verse. Aishwarya kahite sphurila Aishwarya sagara Manendriya dubila prabhu haila fanpara.
While describing the transcendental opulences of Krishna, the ocean of opulence manifested in the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his mind and senses were immersed in this ocean. Thus he was perplexed.
So when Mahaprabhu is speaking, so it was not simply from a theoretical or intellectual level, that his mind himself became filled with Krishna's opulences. And then he is just trying, because the mind was filled with Krishna's opulences, and then he was actually started speaking, then he starts describing Krishna's opulences. So many times we may be speaking about Krishna, but our mind may be somewhere else. Like Hiranyakashipu, he was speaking to the relatives of Hiranyaksha in order to pacify them. But in his mind, he did not believe on what he spoke, because he spoke about the temporary nature of the body. But after speaking, then he wanted to attain immortality in his body. Next chapter is there. So sometimes a devotee, his mind may be filled with thoughts of Krishna, but he may not be in a position to speak about Krishna. It's like Vasudev. When Nanda Maharaj comes to meet Vasudev, that Vasudev's mind was filled with thoughts of Krishna, but he couldn't actually speak about Krishna, because he didn't want to actually reveal to Nanda Maharaj that he has actually transferred his son Krishna to actually Gokul. His mind was filled with thoughts of Krishna, but he did not speak elaborately about Krishna. He just gave an indication that there may be some dangers, so you just be careful, carefully protect your child. He just mentioned that. So, but here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his mind became immersed in the opulence of Krishna, and then he starts speaking. Bhagavat tera yeh shloka padila apane.
अर्थ आस्वादिते सुखे करेण व्याख्याने।
श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु पर्सनली रिसाइटेड द फॉलोइंग वर्स फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम एंड टू रिलीज द मीनिंग ही बिगन टू एक्सप्लेन इट हिमसेल्फ।
सो देयर इज अ ब्यूटीफुल वर्स एंड उद्धवास रिमेंबरेंस ऑफ कृष्णा।
स्वयं त्वसंयातिशयस्त्रदीश स्वाराज्य लक्ष्म्याप्त समस्त कामा बलिं हरद्भिश्चिरलोकपालै किरीटकोट्येडितपादपीठः।
The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the master of three worlds and the three principal demigods, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. No one is equal to or greater than him. By his spiritual potency, known as Swarajya Lakshmi, all his desires are fulfilled. While offering their dues and fragrance in worship, the predominating deities of all the planets touch the lotus feet of Lord with their helmets. Thus, they offer prayer to the Lord.
So basically, Mahaprabhu is quoting this verse, and then till the 98th verse, he basically explains this verse, this particular verse. Yes, an explanation of this verse is till the 98th verse. So in this verse, the word Tradisha, Tradisha means the master of threes. So Prabhupada in the word-to-word translation, he gives four meanings of the word Tradisha. The master of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. The master of, second meaning is that, master of Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu and Shirodakshay Vishnu. And third meaning is that, the master of the three planetary systems within the universe. That is Bhurloka, the upper planetary systems, middle planetary systems and the lower planetary systems. And the fourth meaning is that the master of Goloka Vrindavan, Vaikuntha Dham and the material world. So these four meanings are given in the word-to-word translation. But in the explanation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's explanation, he covers, he also gives four meanings. But the four meanings which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives is that, so he gives the meaning of the master of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. He gives that meaning. And he also gives the meaning of the master of Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu and Shirodakshay Vishnu. He gives this meaning also. The third meaning he gives is that the master of Goloka Vrindavan, Vaikuntha Dham and the material world. But the fourth meaning he gives is slightly different from what is there in the word-to-word translation. The fourth meaning he gives is that the master of Gokul, Mathura and Dwaraka. In the Goloka Vrindavan there are three sections, Gokul, Mathura and Dwaraka. So that is the additional fourth meaning which is given in the explanation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll discuss this verse.
Parama Ishvara Krishna Swayam Bhagavana Tate Bada Tandra Sama Kehanahi Ana.
Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is the greatest of all. No one is equal to him, nor is anyone greater than him.
So here how Krishna is the original Supreme Lord, he quotes the Brahma Samhita verse, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, Anadi Radhir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. And then to explain that how even Lord Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva carry out the orders of Krishna, he quotes this verse from the second canto of the Bhagavatam, second canto, sixth chapter, again from Brahmaji's instruction to Narada Muni. We'll recite the 37th verse.
Srijamitan yukto yam haro harati tadvashah Vishvam Purusha Rupena Paripati Trishakti Dre.
Lord Brahma said, following the will of the Supreme Personality of a Godhead, I create, Lord Shiva destroys, and he himself, in the form of a Kshirodakshai Vishnu, maintains all the affairs of a material in nature. Thus, the supreme controller of the three modes of a material nature is Lord Vishnu.
So basically, Mahaprabhu gives the first meaning of Tradisha, that Krishna is the master of Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu. And then he says that this is just a general description. Now try to hear another meaning of Tradisha, which is a little more deeper meaning. So how Mahaprabhu is describing the meaning of Tradisha is that first meaning of Tradisha is a general description, and then he gives a deeper meaning of Tradisha, and the third is a even more deeper meaning, and the fourth is a even more deeper meaning of Tradisha. The first meaning is, he is the master of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. The second meaning is that, deeper meaning is that he is the master of Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Shirodakshaya Vishnu. The third meaning is an even more deeper meaning is that he is the proprietor or the master of Goloka Vrindavan, all the Vaikuntha planets and the material world. And the fourth meaning is an even more deepest meaning is that he is the master of Gokul, Mathura and Dwaraka. So this is like a progressive way of. So 39th verse. Mahavishnu Padmanabha Kshirodaka Swami Eiti Nastula Sukshma Sarva Antaryami.
Mahavishnu, Padmanabha and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu are the super souls of all subtle and gross existence.
40th verse. Yaitina sarvashraya jagata ishvara Yeho sabha kala amsha krishna adishvara.
Although Mahavishnu, Padmanabha and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu are all the shelters, and controllers of the entire universe, they are nonetheless but plenary portions of portions of the plenary person of Krishna. Therefore, he is the original personality of a Godhead.
So now he gives the quotation from Brahma Samhita. So 39, 40th and 41st is the second meaning of Tradisha. The quotation from Brahma Samhita we will recite together. Yasyai kanishvasita kala matavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanata Vishnor mahan saiha yasya kala visheshu Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
The Brahmas and other lords of the mundane worlds appear from the pores of a Mahavishnu and remain alive for the duration of his own exhalation. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom Mahavishnu is a portion of a plenary portion.
So this verse says that even Mahavishnu is only the portion of the plenary portion of of Lord Krishna, Govinda. Mahavishnu is only the kala, yasyaika nishvasita kala. Kala matavalambya Vishnur mahan saiha yasya kala visheshu. So you know that there is a swamsha and kala. Last week when we discussed in the Bhagavatam class, swamsha is a direct expansion, kala is the expansion of the expansion. So this verse says that Mahavishnu is the kala of Govinda, expansion of Govinda. In this way he has given the second meaning. So by that it is understood that even Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Shirodakshaya Vishnu, their master is also Krishna only. So now he gives the third meaning, which is even more confidential meaning. Ei artha madhyama shuna guda artha ara Tina avasa sthana krishnera shastre kyati yara.
This is the middle meaning, Now please hear the confidential meaning. Lord Krishna has three places of residence, which are well known from the revealed scriptures.
Antapura Goloka Sri Vrindavana Yaha Nitya Sthiti Mata Pita Bandhugana.
The internal abode is called Golok Vrindavan. It is there that Lord Krishna's personal friends, associates and father and mother live.
So he describes the abodes of the Lord. First is the Golok Vrindavan. And Golok Vrindavan, Krishna has his different associates, parents and friends and mothers. And then he explains that what is the speciality of Vrindavan? It is the storehouse of Krishna's mercy and the sweet opulences of conjugal love. The speciality of Vrindavan is that that place where the madhurya rasa, the sweetness, that will be found only in the Vrindavan Dham. And also the quintessence of all of Krishna's pastimes, that is the Ras Leela, that is displayed there. So 45th verse. Karuna Nikuramba Komale Madhuraishwarya Vishesha Shalini Jayati Vrajaraja Nandane Nahi Chinta Kanika Vyudetinaha.
Vrindavan Dham is very soft due to the mercy of the Supreme Lord, and it is especially opulent due to the conjugal love. The transcendental glories of the son of Maharaj Nanda are exhibited here. Under the circumstances, not the least anxiety is awakened within us.
So the special opulence of Vrindavan Dham is actually the Madhurya Rasa. And now he explains the what is there below the Vrindavan planet, that is the all the Vishnu lokas, and they are called as the Vaikuntha Dham. All the Vishnu loka planets are also called as Haridham.
Taratale Paravyoma Vishnu loka Nama Narayana Adi Ananta Swarupera Dama.
Below the Vrindavan planet is a spiritual sky which is known as Vishnu Lok. In Vishnu Lok, there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets controlled by Narayan and innumerable other expansions of Krishna.
So in this Paravyoma, which is full of six opulences, it is the intermediate residence of Krishna. So there are unlimited forms of Krishna enjoy their pastimes. And all these different Vaikuntha planets, they are like different rooms in a treasure house. Filled with different opulences in which there are so many associates of Krishna. And then he quotes a verse from Brahma Samhita to support this. We'll recite this 49th verse together.
Goloka namni nijadamni tale cha tasya Devi Mahesha Haridama Suteshu Teshu Tete prabhava nichaya pitascha yena Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
Below the planet named Golok Vrindavan are the planets known as Devi Dham, Mahesh Dham and Hari Dham. These are opulent in different ways. They are managed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the original Lord. I offer my obeisances unto him.
So he has described the Golok Vrindavan and he has described the all the Vishnu Loka planets. And then the third, this thing is describing the material world. So for that he describes the Viraja Nadi. He says that between the spiritual and the material world, there is a Viraja Nadi. This Viraja Nadi is actually, it is emanating from the bodily perspiration of the Supreme Lord, who is known as Vedanga. He quotes a verse from Padma Puran, the 50th verse. And so Lord is called as Vedanga. From his bodily perspiration, Viraja Nadi comes. And so we'll say the 51st verse.
Tasyapare paravyoma tripad bhutam sanatanam amritam shashvatam nityam anantam paramam padam.
Beyond the river Viraja is the spiritual nature which is indestructible, eternal, inexhaustible and unlimited. It is the supreme abode consisting of three-fourths of the Lord's opulences. It is known as Paravyoma, the spiritual sky.
So beyond the Viraja Nadi is the Paravyoma, spiritual sky. And the other side of Viraja Nadi is the material world, which is called as, is also called as Devi Dham. So basically, in this explanation, Mahaprabhu is saying that Krishna is the proprietor of Golok Vrindavan and all the Haridham. Haridham, in Haridham he includes all the Vishnu Loka planets, and then he is also the proprietor of the Devi Dham, which is on the other side of the Viraja Nadi. So these three dhams, Devi Dham, Mahesh Dham and Haridham, that is actually indicated in the Brahma Samhita verse. Goloka Dhamni Nijadhamni Talecha Tasya Devi Mahesha Haridhamasu Teshu Teshu. So there is an interesting point which Prabhupada writes in the purport. I'll come to that point in the 54th verse. So 53rd verse. Devi Dhamma Namatara Jiva Yara Vasi Jagal Lakshmi Raki Rahe Yahamaya Dasi.
The abode of the external energy is called Devi Dham, and its inhabitants are the conditioned souls. It is there that the material energy Durga resides with many opulent maid servants.
So here Prabhupada explains that Durga is the material mother of all the living entities in the material world, and Lord Shiva is the material father of all the living entities. And conditioned souls please Durga for getting different material facilities, and Durga supplies all kinds of material facilities, and because of this conditioned souls are allured and do not wish to leave the external energy. So Mahaprabhu is describing the third meaning of the Tradisha in these verses. Third meaning he starts from the 42nd verse. Fifty-fourth verse. Yaitina Damerahaya Krishna Adishwara Goloka Paravyoma Prakritira Para.
Krishna is the supreme proprietor of all dhams, including Golok Dham, Vaikunth Dham and Devi Dham. The Paravyoma and Golok Dham are beyond Devi Dham, this material world.
So basically he described these three dhams. Krishna is the proprietor of Goloka Dham, Vaikuntha Dham, which is also called as Hari Dham, and the Devi Dham. Then Prabhupada just gives an interesting point about the Mahesh Dham. Because in the Brahma Samhita verse, Hari Dham, Mahesh Dham, Devi Dham, all three are mentioned. But what about the Mahesh Dham? So Mahesh Dham is the place where Lord Shiva resides. Who are the people who go to Mahesh Dham? So Prabhupada writes a point that those living entities who are liberated from the Devi Dham, but who do not know the opulence of Hari Dham, they are sent to the Mahesh Dham. Because Mahesh Dham lies in between the Hari Dham and the Devi Dham. Those who are liberated from the Devi Dham, but who do not know the opulence of Hari Dham, they are placed into Mahesh Dham. This much is explained by Prabhupada in the purport. Yeah.
Goloka Dham, Hari Dham or Vaikuntha Dham and the Devi Dham. Prakriti Rapara. Yeah, Prakriti Goloka Paravyo. Etina Dhamirahaya Krishna Adishwara. Goloka Paravyoma Prakriti Rapara.
Oh, and Padam Gachyan Dhanamaya means they attain the position in the spiritual world.
Janma Bandha Vinirmukta Padam Gachyan Dhanamaya.
How it begins? Which then?
Chapter it comes? Is it? Yeah. Second chapter.
How this verse begins? Nirdhuta Kalmasha and all that comes.
Janma Bandha Vinirmukta.
I don't
know. Janma Bandha Vinirmukta. Yeah, it refers.
Yes. So if Janma Bandha Vinirmukta is complete, then Krishna won't say Padam Gachindana. Getting liberation is only 50%. Entering spiritual world is another. So this is the verse. Karmajam buddhi yuktahi palam tyaktva manishinah karma bandha janma bandha vinirmukta muktaha padam gachindana. This is 2.51.
55th verse. Chikshakti vibhuti dama tripadaishwarya nama mayika vibhuti yeka pada abhidana.
The spiritual world is considered to be three forces of energy and opulence of spirit, supreme personality of Godhead, whereas this material world is only one fourth of that energy. That is our understanding.
So Tripad Vibhuti and Ekapad Vibhuti. So Haridam and Goloka Vrindavan, that is actually Tripad Vibhuti. And Devi Dham is actually one fourth. Ekapad Vibhuti. So that is another verse from Laghu Bhagavata Amrita. Tripad Vibhutir Dhamatva. Tripad Bhutam Hitatpadam. Vibhutir mayiki sarva prokta padatmika yataha.
Because it consists of three-fourths of Lord's energy, the spiritual world is called Tribad Bhuta. Being a manifestation of one-fourth of Lord's energy, the material world is called Ekapada.
So now Mahaprabhu slightly before, he will give the fourth meaning just little later. He will describe the fourth meaning from the from the 90th verse. But now Mahaprabhu speaks little more. He says that let us speak little more about the Ekapad Vibhuti. So Mahaprabhu is now going to describe other words in that particular, going to explain the other words in the verse. Basically, Mahaprabhu is explaining the verse of Swayam Tvasimya Tishayas Tradisha. So far he has explained the three meanings of the word Tradisha. Now he explains the other meanings of the word. Swarajya Lakshmiyapta Samasta Kama Balim Haradbis Chiraloka Palai. So he explains the word Chiraloka Palai now. So Chiraloka Palai means the eternal maintainers of the different planets. Actually, in one sense, none of the posts in the material world is eternal. In the material world, the posts in the different planets in the material world is not eternal. But still, because they are having the post for such a long time, Chiraloka Palair word is used. So, 58th verse. Ananta Brahmandera Yata Brahma Rudra Gana Chiraloka Pala Shabde Tahara Ganana.
Actually, it is very difficult to ascertain the number of universes. Every universe has its separate Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, who are known as permanent governors. Therefore, there is also no counting them.
So he explains that all this Chiraloka Palair, it is not that one or two people, these permanent governors are also unlimited in number. And he says that within a particular universe, there are 8 predominating deities, 8 like prominent predominating deities, that is Indra, Agni, Yama, Varuna, Nirthi, Vayu, Kuvera and Shiva. 8 predominant deities of the prominent heavenly planets. So they are also called as Lokapala. And also Chiralokapala can refer to Brahma, Vishnu, Brahma and Shiva. Because they are existing from the beginning of the universe till the end. Like in the case of Indra, Indra's post is for only for, what is the duration of Indra's post? 1 Manvantara. After each Manvantara, Indra's post changes. But Brahma and Shiva's post is actually there from the beginning of the universe till the end of the universe. Only Brahma and Shiva are mentioned. Other, I'm sure, I think all the others also, others, the demigods change in every Manvantara. In the 8th canto, if you remember, I think Sukadeva Goswami describes who are the different demigods in this Manvantara, who will be the sons of the demigods, who are the Sapta Rishis.
Which is actually 17 millennia, 70 millennia of Brahma. In that period, one demigod remains, is it?
Because that is also a long period, so I think they are also included as Chiralokapala. Looks like. Chiralokapala comes in that original verse. That. Acha, 55, which verse? We'll go through it, I think. Not exactly noted. Now he is explaining the meaning of the word Chiralokapala. So he says that how all these Chiralokapala, different governors of the universe, different masters of the different planetary systems, they come to offer obeisances to Krishna. So for that he is going to describe that pastime of Brahma coming to meet Krishna in Dwaraka. So, Eka Dina Dwaraka Te Krishna Deki Bare Brahma Aila Dwarapala Jana Aila Krishna Re.
Once, when Krishna was ruling Dwaraka, Lord Brahma came to see him, and the doorman immediately informed Lord Krishna of Brahma's arrival.
Krishna kahe kon Brahma ki naam tahara Dwari asi Brahma re puche arabara.
Krishna was informed. He immediately asked the doorman, "Which Brahma? What is his name?" The doorman therefore returned and questioned Lord Brahma.
So this is like a surprise question for Brahma. Which Brahma has come? The Prabhupada writes in the purport that all these Brahma, Surya, all these are different posts. They are just names of the posts, and different people occupy these posts in different times. So when the doorman came and asked this question, which Brahma? Brahma was completely surprised, and he said that, "I am the four-headed Brahma who is the father of the four Kumaras. That Brahma has arrived." Then doorman went and immediately informed Krishna about Brahma's response, and Krishna gave permission to enter. And then doorman escorted Brahma to meet Krishna. So Brahma, after offering obeisances, that Krishna asked him, 63rd verse, Krishna manya puja kari tanre prashna kaila. Kilagi tomara yiha agamana haila.
After being worshipped by Lord Brahma, Lord Krishna also honored him with suitable words. Then Lord Krishna asked him, "Why have you come here?"
So when Krishna asked, like, "Why have you come here?" So Brahma had some original purpose for which he had come. But Brahmaji said, first I want to clear some doubts. I will tell my purpose later. So he said that, first please dissipate my doubt. That why did you say that which Brahma had come? That means, is there any other Brahma apart from me in this universe? So he has this doubt. And Krishna heard this. Krishna immediately meditated and unlimited Brahmas arrived instantly. 67th verse. Dasha Bisha Shata Sahasra Ayuta Laksha Vadana. Kotiyar Buddha Mukha Karo Nayaya Ganana.
These Brahmas had different number of heads. Some had 10 heads, some 20, some 100, some 1,000, some 10,000, some 100,000, some 10 million, and others 100 million. No one can count the number of faces they had.
So not only so many Brahmas came with thousands and lakhs and crores of heads, even the so many Shivas and Indras and so many other people came. So Prabhupada says, in the Indra, who had many thousands of eyes all over his body, he also came. Prabhupada just writes in the purport about the story, why Indra had so many eyes. One Indra wanted to enjoy the wife of some sage, Gautama Rishi. And Gautama Rishi came to know, Gautama Rishi cursed Indra that your body will be, because you are so lusty, your entire body will be filled with vaginas. But Indra later, he realized his mistake and begged forgiveness from Gautama Rishi. And Gautama Rishi changed the curse to the body to be filled with the different eyes. So when Brahmaji saw all these things, he felt as if like he is a rabbit among many elephants. And all these Brahmas offered dandavats to Krishna. And when all these Brahmas offered dandavats to Krishna, and their helmets actually touched the simhasan, the throne of Krishna. And when the helmets touched the throne of Krishna, their helmets made different sounds. Helmets made different jingling sounds. And by those sounds of the helmets, it appeared that they were making a musical concert. And they were offering different prayers to Krishna. And 73rd verse. Yodahate Brahma Rudradi Karaye Stavana Bada Kripa Karila Prabhu Dekaila Charana.
With folded hands, all the Brahmas and Shivas began to offer prayers unto Lord Krishna, saying, O Lord, you have shown me a great favor. I have been able to see your lotus feet.
So all these Brahmas, they ask the question that that we are all actually your appointed servants. We are all your servants. Please let me know what is your order. So that's why Rupa Goswami explains that he describes the four kinds of servants. Adhikrita Dasa, Ashrita Dasa, Parshrita Dasa, and Anugadasa. So he describes one of the first Ashrita Dasa. Adhikrita Dasa means the appointed servants. The appointed servants, he puts the Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they come under the category of appointed servants. So Lord Brahma, all these Lord Brahmas are saying that we are all your servants, please, we want to carry out your order. So Krishna just said that I just want to see all of you together. That is why he called all of you. And are all of you happy? That are there any demons troubling you? Then Krishna asked this question. Then the Brahmas replied that actually by your mercy we are all victorious. We are victorious everywhere. And you have relieved the burden of the earth by descending to the particular planet. So we see that all these Brahmas, they thought that Krishna has descended only in their planet. Because all these Brahmas are saying that there is no fear of the demons because you have actually relieved the burden of the demons from our planet. So they all felt that Krishna has appeared in their planet. So Prabhupada writes, the Mahaprabhu writes a very interesting point. 79th verse. Krishna Saha Dwaraka Vaibhava Anubhava Haila Ekatra Milane Keha Kahona Dekila.
Thus the opulence of Dwarka was perceived by each and every one of them. Although they were all assembled together, no one could see anyone but himself.
So this is an interesting point. So all these Brahmas, they could actually perceive, they experience the opulence of Dwaraka. Each of them felt that Krishna had appeared in their own planet. But all these Brahmas, they could not see each other. So only the four-headed Brahma, he could see all the Brahmas. He was given a special vision. But other Brahmas, they could not see actually other Brahmas. So Prabhupada says that this is all by, although all Brahmas and Shivas were assembled together, due to Krishna's energy, they could not meet or talk among themselves individually. So only the four-headed Brahma by the could see others. So then Krishna bade farewell to all the Brahmas there, and then they all returned to their abodes. Then the four-headed Brahma was completely astonished, and then he offered obeisances to Krishna. And then Brahmaji said that whatever I formally decided about my knowledge I have just now had personally verified. Then Brahmaji speaks the again same verse from the prayer. We'll recite this together. Jananta eva janantu kimbahuktyana me prabhu manaso vapusho vacho vaibhavam tava gocharaha. So Brahmaji said, people may say that I know everything about Krishna, but as far as I am concerned, that I do not know much about Krishna. They are all beyond the reach of my body, mind and words. So Krishna said, actually this universe is the smallest of all the universes. Consequently, you have only four heads. And there are other universes which are 1 billion yojanas in diameter. Some are 1 trillion, some 10 trillion, some 100 trillion. So according to the size of the universe, the Brahmas also have more number of heads. In this way, I maintain all these universes together. And then Krishna said that actually nobody can measure the length and breadth of the 1/4 of my energy manifested in the material world. Then who then can measure the 3/4 that is manifested in the spiritual world? Then he quotes a verse from Padma Puran, 88th verse. Tasya pare paravyoma tripad bhutam sanatanam amrutam shashvatam nityam anantam paramam padam.
Beyond the river Virja is the spiritual nature, which is indestructible, eternal, inexhaustible and unlimited. It is the supreme abode consisting of 3/4 of the Lord's opulences. It is known as Parvyoma, the spiritual sky.
So in this way Krishna bade farewell to the four-headed Brahma. So till the 89th verse, like Mahaprabhu described in one sense, the Chiraloka Palai, how the different the presiding deities of the different planets, they are come and offer obeisances to Krishna using this pastime of Brahmaji coming to meet Krishna. So now from the 90th verse, Mahaprabhu gives the deeper meaning of Tradisha, the fourth meaning of Tradisha. So we'll just take a break and then we'll continue from the 90th verse. Tradition, and then comes that verse. Swayam Prasamya Rishiyastradisha. Yeah, the word-to-word translation Prabhupada doesn't mention. Gokul Mathura and Dwarka. But Mahaprabhu is explaining. Thought about that. Wanted to see all of you together. It could be, I'm just guessing, because from each of the universe, the different Shiva, Indra, they all came. Maybe Krishna meant, wanted to see all of them. Maybe they felt that Krishna wanted to see between Brahma, Shiva, and Indra, from our parents. But from Krishna's point of view, he said, I want to see all the other people. Which you can see here. That's my explanation. But it is clearly mentioned in this purport that they could not see the other. They could see other Shivas and Indras, but not the other Brahmas and other Shivas. One particular quality of Krishna, how Krishna is, one of the 64 qualities, and that connection is somewhere else. So two pastimes which come, how Krishna is all honorable, so for that maybe
start.
ತ್ರದೀಶ್ವರ ಶಬ್ದೇರ ಅರ್ಥ ಗುಡ ಅರ್ಹಯ ತ್ರಿಶಬ್ದೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣೇರತಿನ ಲೋಕಕಾಯ the deepest meaning. So you see that how Mahaprabhu is in a progressive way is explaining. The first meaning is that is the master of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. So Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva is only are within one particular universe. The next meaning is the master of the three Vishnus. That means the three Vishnus, by that he is including all the material universes. And the next meaning is that he is the master of Golok Vrindavan, Vaikuntha Loka and all the material world. So he's including even more deeper. He is not only the material universe, but all the Vaikuntha planets and Golok Vrindavan are included. Now he is describing even within the Golok Vrindavan, there are three portions, that is Gokul, Mathura and Dwaraka. So Krishna is the master of all these three. So this is the deepest meaning. ಗೋಲೋಕಾಕ್ಯ ಗೋಕುಲ ಮಥುರಾ ದ್ವಾರಾವತಿ ಏತಿನ ಲೋಕ ಕೃಷ್ಣೇರ ಸಹಜೇ ನಿತ್ಯ ಸ್ಥಿತಿ.
ದ ತ್ರೀ ಲೋಕಸ್ ಆರ್ ಗೋಲೋಕ್, ಮಥುರಾ ಅಂಡ್ ದ್ವಾರಕಾ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಲಿವ್ಸ್ ಇಟರ್ನಲಿ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ತ್ರೀ ಪ್ಲೇಸಸ್.
ಸೊ ಹಿಯರ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್, ದಿಸ್ ದ ಥರ್ಡ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್. And Prabhupada writes that Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Krishna conducts his pastime in three areas, Navadvip, Jagannath Puri and Vrindavan. So he just mentions this point in the purport. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conducts his pastime. And these three places are full of internal potencies and Krishna is the sole proprietor. And as it is mentioned previously, Chiraloka Palair Kirita Koti Edita Pada Pita. When all these Chiraloka Palair, when all these maintenance of the different planets, the material universes and the Vaikuntha planets, when they touch the throne of Krishna, they make a jingling sound. When the throne actually touches the, when the helmet touches the throne of Krishna, it makes a jingling sound. And it seemed that prayers offered by the helmets at Krishna's lotus feet. It appeared that the helmets are offering prayers to Krishna's lotus feet. So in this way, Krishna is actually filled with the spiritual potency, which is called as Shad Aishwarya. He is filled with six kinds of opulences. So Mahaprabhu, in this way, he explained, Swayam Tvasam Ya Tishayas Tradisa Swarajya Lakshmiapta. Swarajya Lakshmiapta means, so Krishna by his spiritual potencies, by the spiritual potencies of Krishna fulfill all his desires. So therefore, Krishna is called accepted as the Supreme Personality of God. So 97th verse, we'll recite that. The same verse. Swarajya Lakshmiapta. Swarajya Lakshmiapta. He is explaining that all the spiritual potencies fulfill the desires of Krishna. So therefore he is accepted as the Supreme Personality of God. He doesn't have to work anything. He doesn't have to, when Krishna wants to know something, his Jnana Shakti will immediately act. His Kriya Shakti will act. There is this example which is given by Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj. He gives the example that the king of Mysore, so when he would have hundreds of cars with him. And when he would come out of the palace, when he would want to actually go for a ride. So there will be all these, each car would have a driver, or they would be waiting, awaiting the order of the waiting for some indication from the king. And the king would say, he just give an indication. with a hand, a gesture, something. So immediately that person would be like eager to actually take the king and to take him on a ride. So Bhakti Dr. Sridhar Maharaj would give this example to show that how even in this material world we see that all the servants, they carry out the orders of the master. Master does not have to do anything. So similarly, all these energies of Krishna, they just fulfill the desires of Krishna. That is the meaning of the word Swarajya Lakshmi Apta. Swarajya Lakshmi, the personal opulence. So therefore, Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then Mahaprabhu concludes the topic by saying that I have just given a Krishna's opulence are unlimited like a ocean. I have only touched a drop of this ocean. So now from the 99th verse, Mahaprabhu starts describing the sweetness of Krishna. 99th verse. Aishwarya kahite prabhura Krishna svurti haila. Madhurye majila mana yeka shloka padila.
When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was describing the opulences and spiritual potencies of Krishna in this way, there was an awakening of love of Krishna within him. His mind became immersed in the sweetness of conjugal love. And he quoted the following verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam.
So now Mahaprabhu's mind became filled with Krishna's sweetness. His mind became filled with the Madhurya Ras, the conjugal love towards Krishna. So in the mood of a gopi, Mahaprabhu would be speaking about the sweetness of Krishna. So again, Mahaprabhu quotes a verse from the Uddhava's remembrance of Krishna, and he would essentially explain this particular verse. But in the course of the explanation, he will quote other verses also, essentially he would just explain this particular verse. In order to explain this, he would actually quote some other verses. He would give more details. So 100th verse. Yanmartya leelau payikam swayoga. Maya balam darshayita grihitam. Vismapanam swasya cha saubhagarde. Param padam bhushana bhushanangam.
To exhibit the strength of his own spiritual potency, Lord Krishna manifested a form just suitable for his pastime in the material world. This form was wonderful even for him and was the supreme abode of wealth of good fortune. Its limbs were so beautiful that they increased the beauty of the ornaments worn on different parts of his body.
So Mahaprabhu described the different elements of this verse. So we will actually go through that. So basically this verse says that Krishna's form as the human being, it is the most attractive form, it is the topmost form. Because that's why it's explained that Vismapanam Swasya cha Saubhagarde. And Krishna performed the pastimes in his human form. Vismapanam, it was astonishing even to the Swasya cha Saubhagarde means it was astonishing even to the other Narayanas, Narayan forms, other incarnations of the Lord who are proud of their Saubhagarde. Saubhagarde means who are already having so many opulences, who are proud of their opulences. Even they became astonished, Vismapanam, by seeing Krishna's opulences. And Vismapanam Swasya, the word Swasya, the acharyas give the meaning that Krishna's pastimes and his form is attractive even to himself. Swasya means himself. And Saubhagarde means it was attractive even to the other Narayan forms and the other incarnations who are having so many opulences, who are proud of their opulences. And Yanmartya Lilo Payukam Swayoga Mayabalam. And the pastimes which Krishna performed as a human being, they were all performed in his Sva maya balam, that means it, under his internal potency, under his Vishuddha Sat, Shuddha Sattva platform. And his body is so beautiful that his body beautifies the ornaments, param padam bhushana bhushanangam. This is a very famous verse. So there's a different tune of these verses. I don't know the tune for the three lines verses, but this. Krishnerayate kakela sarvotama naralila naravaputahara swarupa gopavesha venukara navakishor natavara naralila rhaya anurupa. Is it the tune? Okay. So this is a, I don't know the tune for the three lines. Maybe that somebody can help.
Lord Krishna has many pastimes, of which his pastime as a human being are the best. His form as a human being is the supreme transcendental form. In this form he is a coward boy. He carries a flute in his hand and his youth is new. He is also an expert dancer. All this is just suitable for his pastime as a human being.
So this Mahaprabhu is saying that Krishna's form is the best of Sarvottama Naralila. Krishna's pastimes as a human being is the best of all the pastimes. And then he describes the Krishna's form. Gopavesha is having a cowherd, he's having a dress of a cowherd boy, he's having a flute, and he is dressed like a beautiful dancer. I think if you remember in that Venugit section also, that Barha Pidam Natavara Vapu Karnayo Karnikaram Bibrad Vasak Timalam Gopa Vrindair Vrindaranyam Gitam. So Natavara Vapu, there also is explained that he's dressed like a dancer. So all this is just suitable for his pastimes as a human being. So, does anybody know how to recite this three-line verses? Yeah, you can recite. Okay. you can recite. We'll repeat together.
Krishnera Madhura Rupa Suna Sanatana.
Krishnera Madhura Rupa Suna Sanatana.
Jerupera Ekakana Dubai Sabatribhuvana.
Jerupera Ekakana Dubai Sabatribhuvana.
Sarva Prani Kare Akarshana.
Sarva Prani Kare Akarshana.
Sanatana, the sweet, attractive, transcendental form of Krishna, it's so nice. Just try to understand it. Even a fractional understanding of Krishna's beauty can merge all three worlds in the ocean of love. He attracts all living entities within the three worlds.
So Mahaprabhu becomes like, you will see in these descriptions, he is like completely overwhelmed. He's saying, please hear Sanatana. It's actually pleading. Then he's saying that even a fractional understanding of Krishna's beauty can merge all the three worlds in the ocean of love. Next verse. Yoga maya chit shakti vishuddha sarva parinati tara shakti loke dekayite. Ei rupa ratana bhakta gane ragudadana prakata kaila nitya lila haite.
The transcendental form of Krishna is shown to the world by Lord Krishna's internal spiritual energy, which is a transformation of pure goodness. This jewel-like form is the most confidential treasure of the devotees. This form is manifested from Krishna's eternal pastimes.
So here Mahaprabhu in this verse he explains the word Sva Yoga Maya Balam. This form is manifested by his internal spiritual energy. Yanmarti Lilo Payukam Sva Yoga Maya Balam. So that is explained by Mahaprabhu in this particular verse. And this is the most confident treasure of the devotees. The next verse.
Rupa Deki Apanara Krishnera Haila Chamatkara Aswadite Mane Vote Kama. Swasaubhagya Yandra Nama Saundaryadi Guna Grama Ei Rupa Nitya Tara Dama.
The wonderful form of Krishna in his personal feature is so great that it attracts even Krishna to taste his own association. Indeed, Krishna becomes very eager to taste it. Total beauty, knowledge, wealth, strength, fame, and renunciation are the six opulences of Krishna. He is eternally situated in his opulences.
So in this verse, Mahaprabhu especially explains the point that Swasya cha, Vismapanam Swasya, means even Krishna becomes attracted to taste his own association, to taste his own form. That is explained in this verse. The Prabhupada writes in the first paragraph of the purport, he talks about the six aspects of Krishna's six different forms of the Lord. First is he explains is that the forms of the Lord in the Vaikuntha planets, the Chaturvyuha forms, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. The second is the Purushavataras, Mahavishnu, Karanodaksha, Shirodaksha Vishnu, Garbhodaksha Vishnu. And the third forms are the forms in the form of the different incarnations, Matsyavatar, Kurumavatar, which are called as causal incarnations. Prabhupada names like that. And the fourth is the Gunavataras, Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu. And the fifth is the Shaktyavesh Avataras, like Prithu Maharaj and Vyasdev. And the sixth is his incarnation as the Super Soul, or his form of the Super Soul. So he explains essentially that Krishna has all these forms, and the point is that basically all these forms are attracted to all these different forms are attracted to Krishna's form. So in the first paragraph he explains all these different forms of the Lord. The second paragraph he explains that Sarvottama Naralila. All these forms perform different pastimes, but the Naralila of Krishna is the topmost. It is attractive even to all these other forms. So that is the main theme of Prabhupada's purport. And he also explains that a mere drop of Krishna's sweetness can drown these three worlds, Golok Vrindavan, Haridham and Devidham. And everywhere Krishna's beauty merges everyone in the ecstasy of the transcendental forms. And there is one point he explains in the purport which I did not quite understand, but he just mentions in regards to the action of Yoga Maya. He says that Yoga Maya works only in the Goloka Vrindavan. She simply works in the supreme planet Goloka Vrindavan, and she works to manifest the activities of Krishna. He says that actually the activities of Yoga Maya are absent in the spiritual sky and the Vaikuntha planets. So I was I didn't understand. Because he explained that Yoga Maya is present only in the Goloka Vrindavan. Yoga Maya's action is not present even in the Vaikuntha planets. That's what Prabhupada writes in the purport. There is no more explanation for this. But I felt even the Vaikuntha planets also, everything is connected in the spiritual energy. But Prabhupada, in this purport, he explains in this way. So Golok Vrindavan, and she simply works in the supreme planet Golok Vrindavan, and she works to manifest the activities of Krishna when he descends to the material universe to please his innumerable devotees within the material world. Thus, a replica of Golok Vrindavan planet and pastimes there is manifested on this planet on a specific tract of land, that is Bhauma Vrindavan. I think we can understand it. Because the action of Yoga Maya, people actually forget that Krishna is God. Yeah, correct. That particular specific action of Yoga Maya, that is absent in the other Vaikuntha Dhams, because there they know that Narayan, the Supreme Lord. Yeah, correct. So next verse, Mahaprabhu explains Parampadam Bhushana Bhushanangam, that he explains. Bhushanera Bhushana Anga Tahe Lalita Tribanga Taharavu Para Birudana Nartana. Tribanga Tahavu Para Birudana Nartana Tera che netranta bana tara drida sandana vinde radha gopi gana mana.
Ornament scares that body, but the transcendental body of Krishna is so beautiful that it beautifies the ornaments he wears. Therefore, Krishna's body is said to be the ornament of ornaments. Enhancing the wonderful beauty of Krishna is his three-curved style of standing. Above all these beautiful features, Krishna's eyes dance and move obliquely, acting like arrows to pierce the minds of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. When the arrow succeeds in hitting its target, their minds become agitated.
So Mahaprabhu is describing, he is describing in minute detail Krishna's beauty. So one aspect of Krishna's beauty is ornaments. His form beautifies the ornaments. And then also he describes the Tribanga form, and he describes the nature of his eyes. The eyes, they are like the arrows which pierce the minds of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. So his ornaments, the Tribanga form, and his dancing eyes, which are compared to which are acting like the arrows, how they pierce the minds of the devotees. That is described here. And the next verse, Mahaprabhu explains that how even Lord Narayan and also the Lakshmis are attracted by Krishna's form. Especially the word Saubhagarde, Vismapanam Swasyacha Saubhagarde. So that is explained here. Brahmando pari paravyoma taha yei swarupa gana tansa bara bale hare mana. Pativrata shiromani yandre kahe vedavani Akarshaye Seyi Lakshmi Gana.
The beauty of Krishna's body is so attractive that it attracts not only the demigods and other living entities within this material world, but the personalities of the spiritual sky as well, including the Narayanas, who are expansions of Krishna's personality. The minds of the Narayanas are thus attracted by the beauty of Krishna's body. In addition, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmis, who are the wives of the Narayanas are the women described in the Vedas as most chaste are also attracted by the wonderful beauty of Krishna.
So there is described the how even Narayan and the most chaste Lakshmis are also attracted by Krishna's form. And the next verse, Mahaprabhu explains how Krishna is called as Madan Mohan, and as a Cupid attacks different people with his arrows. So similarly, when Krishna is called as the Madan Mohan, if he is the Cupid, what are the arrows which he uses to attack people? So Krishna uses 5 arrows to attack people. So that's also explained in the 107th verse.
Chadi gopi manorate manmate ramana mate namadare madana mohana. Jini pancha sharadarpa swayam navakandarpa rasa kare loya gopi gana.
Favoring the gopis, Krishna rides on the chariots of their minds, and just to receive loving service from them, he attracts their minds like Cupid. Therefore, he is called Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid. Cupid has 5 arrows representing form, taste, smell, sound, and touch. Krishna is the owner of these 5 arrows, and with his Cupid-like beauty, he conquers the minds of the gopis. Though they are very proud of their super excellent beauty, becoming a new Cupid, Krishna attracts their minds and engages in their rasa dance.
So we see that Krishna uses the 5 arrows representing his palm, taste, smell, sound, and touch. This way Krishna becomes a new Cupid. Therefore he is called as Madan Mohan. So he attracts the gopis who are proud of their super excellent beauty. In the next verse, Mahaprabhu describes Krishna's associates, and he describes the effect of Krishna's flute playing. Effect of Krishna's flute playing. Nija sama saka sange gogana charana range vrindavane swachanda vihara. Yandra venu dvani shuni stavara jangama prani pulaka kampa ashruvahe dara.
When Lord Krishna wanders in the forest of Vrindavan with his friends on an equal level, there are innumerable cows grazing. There is another of Lord's blissful enjoyments. When he plays on his flute, all living entities, including trees, plants, animals, and human beings, tremble and are saturated with jubilation. Tears flow constantly from their eyes.
The next verse, Mahaprabhu gives a very beautiful poetic explanation of Krishna's, the necklace which Krishna is wearing, about his peacock feather and the yellow garments which he is wearing. And also Mahaprabhu describes the Krishna's, he compares Krishna's body to a beautiful cloud, and the gopis to be like the newly grown grains. So all these are explained in the next verse.
Muktahara baka panti indra danu pinchatati pitambara vijuri sanchara. Krishna nava jaladara jagata shashya upara Varishaye Lilamrita Dara. Krishna
Krishna wears a pearl necklace that appears like a chain of white ducks around his neck. The peacock feather in his hair appears like a rainbow, and his yellow garments appear like lightning in the sky. Krishna appears like a newly risen cloud, and the gopis appear like newly grown grains in the field. Constant rains of nectarine pastimes fall upon these newly grown grains, and it seems that the gopis are receiving beams of life from Krishna exactly as grains receive life from the rains.
It's a beautiful poetic analogy given by Mahaprabhu. And then, yeah, next verse. So he explained that, you can read the translation, next verse, 110.
Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is full in all six opulences, including his attractive beauty, which engages him in conjugal love with the gopis. Such sweetness is the quintessence of his qualities. Shukadev Goswami, the son of Vyasdev, has described these pastimes of Krishna throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing the descriptions, the devotees become mad with love of Godhead.
So now at this point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he grasped the hand of Sanatana Goswami, and then he describes the beauty of Krishna. Just like the women of Mathura, when Krishna was in the wrestling arena, and then the women of Mathura actually described the beauty of Krishna, and they were saying that how the gopis of Vrindavan are more fortunate, but we have to see how Krishna's body is being punched by all these wrestlers. We have to see, because we are unfortunate, we have to see this particular scene, but women of Mathura are more fortunate. And then, like, what austerities they must have performed so that we can also perform those austerities, so that we can also enjoy the beauty of Krishna like the gopis did. So in the same way, the women of Mathura actually glorified the beauty of Krishna. Mahaprabhu, he actually grasps the hand of Sanatana Goswami and speaks about the beauty of Krishna. So, 111th verse. Kahite Krishne rarase shloka pade prema veshe preme sanatana hatadari. Gopi Bhagya Krishna Guna Yekarila Varnana Bhava Veshe Mathura Nagari.
Just as the woman of Mathura ecstatically described the fortune of the gopis of Vrindavan and transcendental qualities of Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the different mellows of Krishna and became overwhelmed with ecstatic love. Grasping the hand of Sanatana Goswami, he recited the following verse.
This is a very beautiful verse from 10th canto. Gopyastapakki macharan yadamushya rupam. Lavanya sarama samurdvam ananya siddham. Drigbippibantyanu savabhinavam durapam. Ekanta dama yashasa shriya aishvarasya.
What austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes they always drink the nectar of the form of Lord Krishna, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh and unique.
So next verse is a very beautiful verse. Mahaprabhu basically, so now he explains the different aspects of this verse, Gopiyas Tapakki Macharan. So in the next verse, Mahaprabhu explains the nature of Krishna's youthful beauty, Krishna's youthful form. So a very beautiful analogy is given.
తారుణ్యామృత పారావర తరంగ లావణ్య సార తాతే సే అవర్త భావోద్గమ. వంశీధ్వని చక్రవాత నారీ రమణ తృణపాతి తాహా డూబాయ్ నాల్హయ ఉద్గమ.
The bodily beauty of Shri Krishna is like a wave in the ocean of eternal youth. In that great ocean is the whirlpool of the awakening of ecstatic love. The vibration of Krishna's flute is like a whirlwind, and the flickering minds of the gopis are like straws and dry leaves. After they fall down in the whirlwind, they never rise again but remain eternally at the lotus feet of Krishna.
So there are different aspects of the analogy. So Krishna's youth is compared to an ocean. And the bodily beauty of Krishna's youth, that is compared to the wave. And the awakening of ecstatic love, that is compared to the whirlpool in the ocean. And Krishna is playing the flute, that flute sound is compared to the whirlwind. Whirlwind creates the whirlpool. And when the whirlpool is created, when some straws or leaves come, when they enter into that whirlpool, then what happens? It actually goes down, never to rise up. So when the gopis' minds are compared to the straws and leaves, and when they actually hear the Krishna's flute sound, they enter deep within the whirlpool to take actually and remain eternally at the lotus feet of Krishna. These are the five aspects of the analogy. So this verse, you can recite this verse, 3 lines.
సఖి హే కోణ తప కైల గోపి గాన
మాధురీ పివి పివి నేత్ర భరి శ్లాఘ్య కరే జన్మ తను మన
కృష్ణ రూప సమాధురీ పివి పివి నేత్ర భరి శ్లాఘ్య కరే జన్మ తను మన.
ఓ మై డియర్ ఫ్రెండ్, వాట్ సివియర్ ఆస్టరిటీస్ హవ్ ద గోపీస్ పర్ఫార్మ్ టు డ్రింక్ హిస్ ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ బ్యూటీ and sweetness through their eyes in complete fulfillment. Thus they glorify their births, bodies and minds.
So Mahaprabhu is explaining this this verse, Gopyas tapakkim acharan. What austerities did actually the gopis perform? The next verse. So in the next verse, Mahaprabhu compares the sweetness of Krishna's beauty to the Narayan forms and other avatars, the other forms.
Ye madhurira urdva ana nahi yara samana paravyome swarupe ragana. ఏహో సవ అవతారి పరవ్యోమ అధికారి ఏ మాధుర్య నాహి నారాయణే.
The sweetness of Krishna's beauty enjoyed by the gopis is unparalleled. Nothing is equal to or greater than such ecstatic sweetness. Even the predominating deities of the Vaikuntha planets, the Narayanas, do not possess such sweetness. Indeed, none of the incarnations of Krishna up to Narayana possesses such transcendental beauty.
So you see, different verses explain the different words from that Gopiya Tapakim.
The 113th verse, Mahaprabhu explained the Lavanya Saram, how the Krishna's beauty, the Lavanya Saram means the essence of all loveliness. 114th verse, he explains that Gopyas Tapakki Macharan, what austerities have the gopis performed to drink is transcendental beauty. 115th verse, he explains the word Asamordvam. Asamordvam means there's unparalleled. Means like even the Krishna's beauty cannot be compared even to the Narayan forms. They do not possess such sweetness. So it is Asamordvam. Indeed, none of the incarnations of Krishna up to Narayan possess such transcendental beauties. Asamordvam is explained. Next verse. Tate Sakshi Seirama Narayanera Priyatama Pativrata Ganera Upasya. Tiho ye madurya lobe chadi sabha kama boge vrata kari karila tapasya tapas vrata kari karila tapasya.
The vivid evidence in this regard is that the dearest consort of Narayan, the goddess of fortune, who is worshipped by all chaste women, gave up everything in her desire to enjoy Krishna, being captivated by his unparalleled sweetness. Thus, she took a great vow and underwent severe austerities.
So Mahaprabhu is giving an evidence that he, for that how Krishna's beauty is unparalleled, for that even the goddess of fortunes were actually attracted to, they gave up everything with the desire to enjoy Krishna. Again, both these verses are explaining Asamordvam. 115 and 116, both are explaining the word Asamordvam. 117. Seita Madhurya Sara Anya Siddhi Nahitara Tiho Madhuryadi Gunakani. Ara sab prakashe tandra data guna base yaha yata prakashe karya jani.
The quintessence of Krishna's sweet bodily luster is so perfect that there is no perfection above it. He is the immutable mine of all transcendental qualities. In his other manifestations and personal expansions, there is only a partial exhibition of such qualities. We understand all his personal expansions in this way.
So in this verse, I think the word Ananya Siddham is explained. Ananya Siddham means Krishna's form is actually self-perfect, not perfected by any other ornament. It is self-perfect. I think it is being explained here how Krishna's bodily luster is so perfect that there is no perfection above it. In fact, Krishna's form itself is the immutable mine of all the transcendental qualities. In other forms, there is only partial exhibition of such qualities. Yeah, next verse. Maybe this also explains Ekanta Dhamma. Ekanta Dhamma means Krishna's form is the only abode of beauty, fame and opulence. I think that is also being explained here. Because I explained that Ananya Siddham and Ekanta Dhamma. Ekanta Dhamma Yashasa Shriya Aishwarasya. That also is explained here. Next verse, Navam Durap, Anusavabi Navam, Drigbi Pibant, Anusavabi Navam means it is constantly new. Krishna's form, beauty is ever fresh. That is explained especially in the next verse.
Gopi Bhava Darapana Nava Nava Kshanikshana Tara Age Krishnera Madhurya. Dohe kare huda hudi, bade muka nahi mudi, nava nava dohara prachurya.
Both the gopis and Krishna are complete. The gopis' ecstatic love is like a mirror that becomes newer and newer at every moment and reflects Krishna's beauty, bodily luster and sweetness. Thus competition increases. Since neither give up, their pastimes become newer and newer and both sides constantly increase.
So because of the competition between gopis' love and Krishna's beauty, it actually constantly, Krishna's bodily luster appears newer and newer at every moment. Anusavabhi Navam, especially that. Anusavabhi Navam. It appears newer and newer. Next verse. Karma tapa yoga jnana vidhi bhakti japa dhyana iha haite madhurya durlaba. Kevala ye raga marge, bhaje Krishna anurage, tare Krishna madhurya sulabha.
The transcendental mellows generated from the dealings between the gopis and Krishna cannot be tasted by means of fruitive activity. Yogic austerities, speculative knowledge, regulative devotional service, mantra yoga or meditation. This sweetness can be tasted only through spontaneous love of liberated persons who chant holy names with great ecstatic love.
So this verse explains the word durapam, how Krishna's form cannot be attained by jnana or karma or the path of yoga. The only way to attain Krishna's form is by chanting the holy names in the spontaneous love of God. Only by through the raga marga, we chant the holy names in that. So Durapam is explained about the rarity of attaining this form. Next verse. Sei rupa vrajashraya aishwarya madhurya maya divya guna gana ratnalaya. Anera Vaibhava Satta Krishna Datta Bhagavata Krishna Sarva Amshi Sarva Shraya.
Ecstatic transactions between Krishna and the gopis are possible only in Vrindavan, which is full of the opulences of transcendental love. The form of Krishna is the original source of all transcendental qualities. It is like a mine of gems. The opulences belonging to all the personal expansions of Krishna are to be understood to be the bestowed by Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the original source and shelter of everyone.
I think this verse explains Ekanta Dama Yashasa Shriya Ishwarasya. Seems like that. Basically, Krishna is the original source and a shelter of all. He is the mine of all gems. So it appears like this. Now in the next verse, in this way Mahaprabhu has explained this verse. And then the next verse, Mahaprabhu describes the, compares the qualities of Krishna versus qualities of Narayan. Srila Jadaya Kirti Dairya Vaisha Radhi Mati Yehi Sabha Krishne Pratishtita.
Sushila mrudu vadanya Krishna sama nahi anya Krishna kare jagate rahita.
Beauty, humility, mercy, merit, patience and expert intelligence are all manifested in Krishna. But besides these, Krishna has other qualities like good behavior, mildness and magnanimity. He also performs welfare activities for the whole world. All these qualities are not visible in expansions like Narayan.
So in this verse, this is an interesting thing. Usually we hear the four unique qualities of Krishna are Rupa Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, Prema Madhurya and Leela Madhurya. But here there is a Mahaprabhu is giving an interesting explanation. He says that the unique qualities of Krishna are good behavior, mildness, magnanimity and performing welfare activities for the whole world. He says that these are found only in Krishna. Good behavior, mildness and magnanimity are found only in Krishna, and only Krishna performs welfare activities for the whole world. The other qualities, Sri, Lajja, Daya, Kirti, Dairya, Vaisharadi, these qualities are exhibited both in Krishna and in Narayan. Prabhupada is quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur's purport. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that these other qualities are exhibited by both Krishna and Narayan. But Sushila, Mrudu, Vadanya and Jagate Rahita, these four qualities are exhibited only by Krishna. There's no more explanation, but it is explained here. So then Mahaprabhu describes how Krishna's beauty is so beautiful that gopis actually criticize even Lord Brahma. He mentions that point and then he quotes two verses. Krishna deki nana jana kaila nimi shenindana vraje vidi ninde gopi gana. Sei sab shloka padi Mahaprabhu artha kari suke madhurya kare asvadana.
After seeing Krishna, various people criticize the blinking of their eyes. In Vrindavan especially, all the gopis criticize Lord Brahma because of this defect in the eyes. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam and explained them vividly, thus enjoying the taste of transcendental sweetness with great happiness.
So Mahaprabhu quotes two verses, again one from the end of 9th canto and another from the Gopi Gita 10th canto, in which how the gopis actually criticize Lord Brahma for creating a eyelid. Which one? Drigbi Pibant Anusava. Okay. Yeah. Drigbi Pibant means Anusava Binavam is covered. Yeah, I think we can say. Yeah, because Drigbik Pibanti means because they are drinking the, gopis are drinking the beauty of Krishna. That means it is so relishing. So I think in order to explain the Drigbik Pibanti, maybe this verse is quoted by Mahaprabhu. Yeah, we can say that. So we'll recite these two verses together, 123 and 124. Yasyananam makara kundala charu karna Kapola subhaga savila sahasam nityotsavam natatrubir drishibipibantyo naryo narascha mudita kupita nimesha.
Men and women were accustomed to enjoying the beauty of the shining face of Lord Krishna as well as his shark-shaped earrings swinging on his ears. His beautiful features, his cheeks, and his playful smiles all combined to form a constant festival for the eyes, and the blinking of eyes became obstacles that impeded one from seeing that beauty. For this reason, men and women became very angry at the Creator, Lord Brahma.
So, and the next verse also echoes a similar mood. Atati yad bhavan ahnikananam trutirugayate tvamapashyatam kutilakuntalam shrimukam chate jadavudikshatam pakshmakridrisham.
O Krishna, when you go to the forest during the day and we do not see your sweet face, which is surrounded by beautiful curly hair, half a second becomes as long as entire age for us. And we consider the Creator who has put eyelids on the eyes we use for seeing you to be simply a fool.
So Mahaprabhu, in this way, he has described the beauty of Krishna. Now he describes, he gives another analogy to describe the beauty of Krishna. He says Krishna is the personification of Kama Gayatri, and the Kama Gayatri has got 24 and a half syllables, and these 24 and a half syllables are compared to 24 and a half moons. So he says that what are the 24 and a half moons in the body of Krishna? So we'll say that 125th verse. Kama Gayatri Mantra Rupa Haya Krishna Raswa Rupa Sarda Chabisha Akshara Tara Haya. Sei Akshara Chandrahaya Krishna Kari Udaya Trijagata Kaila Kama Maya.
Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is identical with the Vedic hymn known as the Kama Gayatri, which is composed of 24 and a half syllables. Those syllables are compared to the moons that arise in Krishna. Thus all three worlds are filled with desire.
So you see, Krishna is compared to the Kama Gayatri, which has 24 and a half syllables. And the syllables are compared to the moons that arise in Krishna. So what are the different moons? So it's explained that Krishna's 24 and a half moons are 10 moons are the Krishna's 10 fingernails. 10 moons are Krishna's the toenails. 20. Huh. 10 plus 10, 20. And Krishna's left cheek and Krishna's right cheek. 22. And Krishna's face, that is another moon, 23. And the place where the sandalwood pulp is put, that is the 24th moon. And the forehead, that is half a moon. The place, actually, the sandalwood pulp also we put in the forehead only, but I'm going to explain that. The spot of the sandalwood is considered a full moon, and just the forehead is considered half a moon. So, 10 plus 10, 20. Left cheek, right cheek, 22. And 23 is Krishna's whole face, 23. And 24th is the place where sandalwood pulp is put. I don't know. Do they put somewhere else also? Or the spot of sandalwood pulp is 24. And only the forehead is considered half a moon. These are the 24 and a half moons in Krishna's body. And it is explained that Krishna's body is compared to the throne. Krishna's body is compared to the throne. And Krishna's face is compared to the king of all the moons. the 24 and a half moons are there. The Krishna's face is compared to the, is the king of all the moons. The king is sitting on the throne. The face is resting on the body. And the king is surrounded by the other moons. That is the comparison which is given. The king governs the society of moons. The society of moons, other 23 and a half moons are there. The 10 toenails, 10 fingernails, left cheek, right cheek, the spot of sandalwood pulp, and the forehead. 23 and a half moons. So this is the, this analogy is given in 126, 127, and 128 verse. The half moon is actually the forehead. Yes. So 129th verse. Nache makara kundala netra lila kamala vilasi raja satata nachaya. Brudanu netra bana danurgana dui kana nari mana lakshya vindetaya.
Krishna's face is the enjoyer king. That full moon face makes his shark shaped earrings and lotus eyes dance. His eyebrows are like bows, and his eyes are like arrows. His ears are fixed on the string of that bow, and when his eyes spread to his ears, he pierces the hearts of the gopis.
So he explains that how Krishna pierces the hearts of the gopis. And then the next verse, Mahaprabhu describes the dancing features of Krishna's face. How it actually surpasses the beauty of all the moons. Yei chandera badanata pasaripa chandera hata vini mule vilaya nijamrita. Kahospita jyotsnamrute kahare adaramrute sabaloka kare apyayita.
The dancing features of his face surpass all other full moons and expand the marketplace of full moons. Although priceless, the nectar of Krishna's face is distributed to everyone. Some purchase the moon rays of his sweet smiles and others purchase the nectar of his lips. Thus he pleases everyone.
Then Mahaprabhu says that the two eyes of Krishna are compared to the ministers of the king. And they subdue the pride of Cupid who has beautiful eyes. So in this way Krishna's face is very pleasing to everyone's eyes. Then he explains that how the gopis actually, those who relish Krishna's beauty, they criticize Lord Brahma for not having given more than two eyes. And not only that, they not only criticize for Brahma for not giving more than two eyes, but even those two eyes are blinking. They are having the defect of blinking. So they say this Brahma, because he did so much of tapasya, because of tapasya he has become a very dry tapasvi. He doesn't have any aesthetic sense. So therefore he is a very dry tapasvi. He doesn't know how to create. He is only a dry manufacturer. He doesn't know how to set things in proper place. So like that, the devotees actually criticize Brahma. So then they actually advise to Lord Brahma. You can read the translation, 134.
The writer says, let those who will see Krishna's beautiful face have two eyes. Just see the lack of consideration exhibited by this person posing as a creator. If the creator took my advice, he would give millions of eyes to a person who intends to see Sri Krishna's face. If the creator will accept this advice, then I would say that he is competent of in his work.
So Mahaprabhu is describing how the devotees criticize Lord Brahma. Now in the next section, from 135th verse, this is the next section, in which Mahaprabhu describes the gradations in the beauty of Krishna's form. So there are three parts. He says that Krishna's body is actually very sweet. It is very beautiful. But even more beautiful than Krishna's body is Krishna's face. And even more beautiful than Krishna's face is the Krishna's smile. So these gradations are explained to Mahaprabhu. Krishna's body, Krishna's face, and Krishna's smile. 135th verse will recite. Krishnanga madhurya sindhu sumadura mukha indu ati madhu smita sukirane. Yetine lagila mana lobe kare aswadana shloka pade swahasta chalane.
The transcendental form of Lord Sri Krishna is compared to an ocean. A particularly extraordinary vision is the moon above that ocean, Sri Krishna's face, and an even more extraordinary vision is his smile, which is sweeter than the sweet and is like shining beams of moonlight. While speaking of these things with Sanatan Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to remember one thing after another. Moving his hands in ecstasy, he recited a verse.
So basically, ocean, moon, and beams of light from the moon. So Krishna's entire form is a ocean, his face is the moon, and smile is the beams of light. Then Mahaprabhu remembers another verse. This is from the Billomangal Thakur's Krishna Karanamrita. Maduram maduram vapurasya vibhor. Maduram maduram vadanam maduram. Madugandhi mrudusmitam yetad aho. Maduram 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 maduram.
O my Lord, the transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet, and his face is even sweeter than his body, but his soft smile, which has the fragrance of honey, is sweeter still.
Yeah, you can recite read the translation next verse.
Sanatan, the sweetness of Krishna's personality is just like an ocean of ambrosia. Although my mind is now afflicted by convulsive disease and I wish to drink that entire ocean, the repressive physician does not allow me to drink even one drop.
So this is a beautiful analogy here. So sometimes when a person is actually, these three elements are there, kapha, vata, pitta. The kapha, vata, pitta combine in a different proportion, then a person gets a disease of, he gets a convulsive disease. Convulsive disease is the, convulsion is the fit one, the getting fits. Becoming like madman like that. So because of kapha vata pitta, the combination of kapha vata pitta, a person gets a convulsive disease. So Mahaprabhu is saying here the kapha vata pitta are compared to Krishna's body, Krishna's face, and Krishna's smile. Because of drinking this Krishna beauty of Krishna's body, face, and smile, Mahaprabhu says that my mind is afflicted with a convulsive disease. And so because when a person gets a disease, one wants to actually drink, take medicine. And I want to, as a medicine, I want to drink the entire ocean. I want to drink the entire ocean of Krishna's beauty. but Krishna is not allowing me to drink even one drop. So like that Mahaprabhu is saying. So actually Mahaprabhu is speaking these verses in the mood of the gopis. So the gopis actually want to come close to Krishna and get the association of Krishna and see the beauty of Krishna without any break. But Krishna does not allow the gopis to come near. So in that way the analogy is given by Prabhupada in the purport. Krishna did not allow them to come near. So then again, I can read the translation, 138.
Krishna's beauty is the city of attractive features, and it is sweeter than sweet. His smile, which is like the moon, is sweeter still, and the supremely sweet, gentle smile on that moon-like face is like rays of moonshine.
So Krishna's smile is like the Krishna's face is like the moon, and that moon is actually spreading its rays everywhere. The rays of the moon are compared to the Krishna's smile. So the Krishna's smile, that is the moon rays, that is spreading in all the three worlds. Vaikuntha Dham, Devi Dham, and the Golok Vrindavan. This particular, usually the moon's rays are actually spread only within that particular universe. But this particular moon rays, that is Krishna's smile, this is actually spreading in all the three planets, all the three worlds. Golok Vrindavan, Vaikuntha Dham, and the Devi Dham, the material world. So then there is another analogy now from 140th verse. Smita Kirana Sankurpu Sukarpure Paishe Adara Madure Seyi Madhu Mataya Tribhuvane.
Smita Kirana Sukarpure Paishe Adara Madure Seyi Madhu Mataya Tribhuvane.
Vamshi Chidra Akashe Tara Guna Shabde Paishe Dvani Rupe Pana Pariname.
Vamshi Chidra Akashe Tara Guna Shabde Paishe Dvani Rupe Pana Pariname.
His slight smiling and fragrant illumination are compared to camphor, which enters the sweetness of his lips. That sweetness is transformed and enter into space as vibrations from the holes of his flute.
So we see that when the camphor is added to the sweet rice, it enhances the taste of the sweet rice. So here it's explained that sweet rice, or Krishna's lips are filled with the sweetness. And Krishna's smile and his fragrant illumination, they are compared to the camphor. And the Krishna's smile and the fragrant illumination, that is mixed with the sweetness in Krishna's lips. And this combination enters into the holes of the flute. And then what emanates from that flute, that sound, and when people hear that flute sound, what is the effect of that flute sound? So that is described in the next five verses, till the 144th verse. The effect of hearing Krishna's flute sound. Sedvani Chaudi Kedaya Anda Bedi Vaikunte Yaya Bale Paishe Jagatera Kane. Saba mato yala kari balat kare ane dari visheshata yuva tiragane.
The sound of Krishna's flute spreads in the four directions. Even though Krishna vibrates his flute within this universe, its sound pierces the universal covering and goes to the spiritual sky. Thus the vibration enters the ears of all inhabitants. It especially enters Golok Vrindavan Dham and attracts the minds of the young damsels of Vrajbhumi. bringing them forcibly to where Krishna is present.
So especially the main point is that although Krishna is playing this flute in this world, Bauma Vrindavan, it enters even the Golok Vrindavan. And it attracts, it spreads everywhere, and especially it attracts the minds of the gopis of Vrindavan. And the next verse is explained that, next verse explains the aggressive nature of Krishna's flute sound. What it does, it actually attracts even the goddess of fortune who have all taken the vows of chastity. It breaks their vows of chastity and it forcibly takes them away from the laps of their husbands. In this way, this shows the aggressive nature of the sound of flute. What to speak of the gopis of Vrindavan, it attracts even the goddess of fortune. It makes them away from the laps of their husbands. And the next verse, Mahaprabhu explains that the vibration of Krishna's flute slackens the knots of their underwear even in front of their husbands. Thus the gopis are forced to abandon their household duties and come before Krishna. In this way, all social etiquette, shame and fear are vanquished. And the vibration of his flute causes all women to dance. 144th verse. Kanera bitara vasa kare apane taha sadasfure anya shabda nadeya praveshite. Anakata nashune kana anabalite bolai ana ye krishnera vamshira charite. So this verse is like the, especially the one point which Prabhupada writes in the purport, which is the most important, like, which is relevant to us. In this verse, the fourth point about Krishna's flute sound is that, this verse describes that Krishna's flute sound, when it enters the ears of the gopis, it makes a nest in the ears of the gopis. Just like the bird that creates a nest, when the bird creates a nest, what it does not allow other birds to enter. So similarly, the flute sound actually enters the ears of the gopis and makes a nest within them. And because of that, the gopis are not able to hear any other sound. They are not able to concentrate on anything else. And they are not even able to give a suitable reply. And that is the effect of Krishna's flute sound. And Prabhupada writes a very important purport. He says that the vibration of Krishna's flute is represented by the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. A serious devotee of the Lord who chants and hears this transcendental vibration becomes so accustomed to it that he cannot divert this attention to any subject matter not related to Krishna's blissful characteristics and paraphernalia. In other words, like the same flute sound is available to even to us also. So one may wonder, like, I'm not able to hear Krishna's flute sound, you'll be thinking. But Prabhupada is saying that actually the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is non-different from Krishna's flute sound. And he explains that the effect, the desirable effect which is supposed to be expected by chanting the Mahamantra is that one does not want to vibrate something else. I think that Bhagavatam verse which comes that Nayat Vachas Chitra Padam Harer Yashu Jagat Pavitram Pragrinita Karhichit Tad Vayasam Tirtham Ushanti Manasa Nayatra Hamsa Niramant Usikshaya. So in that verse it's explained that Nayatra Hamsa Niramanti Usikshaya. So Hamsa, the swan-like devotees, swan-like devotees, ni ramanti, they do not take pleasure in those vibrations which do not contain the glories of the Lord. So Vishnu Chakravarti writes in the purport, ni ramanti means nitaram ramanti, that means the swan-like devotees, they never take pleasure. They never take pleasure in hearing some mundane vibrations. It means, he explains that, so those who are the swan-like devotees who are actually relishing the pastimes of the Lord, like they never take pleasure in other sound vibrations. That's why the same is explained here. So next verse. Then at this point, Mahaprabhu resumes his external consciousness. So whatever Mahaprabhu spoke was in actually state of madness. Now Mahaprabhu resumes his external consciousness. He tells to Sanatana Goswami, actually my original intention was I wanted to speak something else. But somehow because of madness I spoke all these things. And actually, then he says that actually by Krishna's mercy, you are able to hear all these things about Krishna's opulence and sweetness. Krishna has caused you to hear all these things from me for your understanding. My original intention was to speak something else. So in this way, Mahaprabhu is saying that Krishna has blessed upon you to hear all these things. So then Mahaprabhu says that, since I have become a madman, I am saying one thing instead of another because I am carried away by the waves of nectarian ocean of Krishna's transcendental sweetness. Then Mahaprabhu remained silent for a moment. Then he again adjusted his mind and spoke to Sanatana Goswami. So that will continue in the next chapter. And then Kaviraj Goswami gives the Phalastuti of this chapter, 148th verse. Krishnera Madhuri Ara Mahaprabhura Muke Iha. I forgot the tune actually. What is the tune of that? Yeah. You need the translation.
To hear about the sweetness of Krishna in this chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he will certainly be eligible to float in the transcendently blissful ocean of love of Godhead.
So Maha concludes, by praying at the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I narrate Chaitanya Charitamrita following their footsteps. Would you like to add something in this chapter? Very sweet chapter. Tomorrow we'll continue the 22nd.
Page number 117.